Hello, and welcome to Beverage Industry Sip and Learn podcasting series. I'm your host, Barbara Harfman, Managing Editor of Beverage Industry Magazine. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Kyle Cook, star of Bravo TV Summer House and founder of Loverboy, a better-for-you alcoholic beverage startup. Cook started the brand with co-star and fiancé Amanda Badala. Having started several companies after getting his MBA from Babson, he found himself running a nutrition coaching startup while starring on a reality show focused on partying in the Hamptons, drinking flavored malt beverages that had up to 60 grams of sugar. Oh, the irony. Heading into their third season in 2018, Kyle thought, why haven't sugary FMBs changed since the 1990s? Why do better-for-you hard seltzers have to taste so bland and artificial? And why am I giving free product placement to big, boring brands? In his aha moment, Kyle stripped the sugar, added higher quality ingredients, including organic brewed tea and monk fruit, and created a premium alternative to hard seltzers, sparkling hard tea. This led to the launch of Loverboy, a rapidly expanding brand that has already launched a second product line sold direct to consumer, craft cocktails with zero added sugar. So let's dive right in with Kyle. I'd like to start the conversation with giving our listeners a sense of why you founded Loverboy and tell us a little more about your product lines, Loverboy Sparkling Hard Tea and Loverboy Spritz, which became the official drink of Summer House last summer.
Well, thanks for having me, Barbara. It's quite the intro. excited to be here talking about Loverboy. As someone who has startup experience but no beverage or food and beverage experience, Loverboy really came out of, a pain point that I saw as a consumer. As someone who is running a nutrition coaching app, like you said, I know that, the average adult consumes anywhere from 20 to 30% of their calories from alcohol. And here I am on this reality TV show, consuming a ton of calories, trying to keep my summer body in check. And at that time, you've got the Twisted Teas of the world and the Mike's Hard Lemonade and the Smirnoffs that are quite frankly like diabetes in a bottle when you actually look up how much sugar and calories are in them, because they sure don't have a label. And then I looked over at the hard seltzers that I started buying when we started filming the show back in 2016. And I was buying them purely for the nutrition callouts, not because I thought they were cool brands, not because they tasted amazing, but because of the nutrition callouts. And I just was like, there's gotta be a happy medium. And so kind of like you said, sparkling hard tea is basically like the best parts of hard tea, which is quite frankly just the tea, and the best parts of a hard seltzer, which are the nutrition components and the light, refreshing taste. And there you have it. That was our first product, our sparkling hard tea. I can also talk about the spritz.
Yeah. Tell me when you created that and why that was created and the difference between the spritz and the tea.
I think of the sparkling hard teas as a premium alternative to hard seltzers, like an upsell. Like, hey, once you've kind of OD'd on White Claw, what do you graduate to? Just like back in the day when you OD'd on Natty Light, you probably end up drinking a better quality beer. So that was the premise there. With the spritz, I knew that if I continue to expand the teas with beer wholesalers, it's going to take a long time, right? It takes about 400 or so beer wholesalers to cover the country. But meanwhile, we've got this unique opportunity with our fan base from the show, and RTD cocktails were exploding as well. And if you make them using a wine base, you can sell an RTD online direct to consumer and bypass the wholesaler and retailer. And so immediately I could get a product out to however many states allow this type of product to be shipped in, which turns out is about 44. So that was like both a distribution play, and also I'm like, hey, if I'm building a premium brand, why not go even more like ultra premium? If I'm used to paying $12 plus dollars for a cocktail at a bar, and it cost, I don't know, $6-$7 to make a proper cocktail at home when you buy all the ingredients and add it all up. Why not make a ready to drink cocktail in a can that tastes like it was just crafted on the spot, you know? And the spritz was, you know, an opportunity to, again, build that premium nature of the brand, but also better for you components. So unlike a lot of the RTD cocktails, we have zero added sugar. And the only sugar present, which is about 2 to 3 grams, comes purely from actual juices and purees that we're using. So it's right in line with our better for you ethos.
Yeah, well, and that actually, Kyle, leads right into the next question, which is to talk a little bit more about the ingredients in your premium craft cocktails and the way they're naturally sweetened and how you came about choosing the flavors that you did.
Yeah, so if I can back up to our teas, mm-hmm. you know, we saw an opportunity to create, you know, a product that was taxed and distributed as a beer, much like every other hard seltzer. But, you know, we're this challenger brand. How are we going to differentiate? Well, one way is to simply use better quality ingredients. So that's been, you know, a key part of our strategy across the board. We're not cutting corners. We're using, you know, organic brewed tea. We're using monk fruit. We're using high quality ingredients to add a little bit of an accent flavor. We're using real juice concentrates. So when you pour out our teas, there's actually some color, you know, from the juices and the teas. And we managed to do all that by actually getting our calorie and sugar count below a White Claw truly. So we're at 90 calories and 0 grams of sugar. With the spritz, we want it to be, you know, a little more of like a special occasion sipping experience, you know, an opportunity to indulge a little bit more. So there's more flavor, you know, it's a fuller body flavor. And that's coming primarily from, you know, various juices and purees that we're using. Our blueberry lemon kissed with basil. I mean, those are the ingredients, right? You've got most of the sweetness is coming from the blueberry juice. The spritz, you know, it's not, you know, on par with, say, an Aperol spritz made with loads of Aperol, because if you actually look under the hood on an Aperol spritz, which was very trendy and will continue to be trendy, guess what? Loads of sugar, depending on how you make it, 20 to 30 grams. I'll say these are fuller flavor. They're not full body like, you know, some of these RTDs out there.
Okay. Well, and so tell us a little bit more about where consumers can purchase Lover Boy. What is your most popular SKU? And give us a sense of how your little company has expanded in just 2 short years. You know, what your percentage of growth is and how the success of Lover Boy defied your expectations.
Sure. So let me unpack that, because there's a lot there. So our most popular SKU is our white tea peach kissed with lavender. That's a sparkling hard tea. It's our most fruit forward sparkling hard tea. And so it's designed to compete and impress someone that is used to drinking a hard seltzer. You know, it's the monk fruit has a way of bringing out the flavors that we're using, which in this case, like I said, is white tea, peach, and lavender. And it just really kind of accentuates the flavors, but keeping it at a zero calorie, all natural sweetener. I mean, you got to love monk fruit, and it still blows my mind that I'm the only one really using it, you know, in this space. Mm-hmm. You know, again, it's more expensive than, say, erythritol. But it's generally perceived to be, you know, a better for you ingredient. And so that's our most popular SKU. In terms of, you know, our expansion, you know, we soft launched last year. I guess now we're in 2021. We soft launched in New York City with the smallest distributor in the summer of 2019. And we're only up to, you know, a couple dozen buying accounts by this time last year. We then launched Wisconsin because that's actually where we co-pack our teas. And then we launched Massachusetts because that was one of our top markets from a fan base standpoint. And it's also one of the most mature hard seltzer markets in the country. And we've grown in 2020, we grew 10,000%, which is just a mind-boggling number. But keep in mind, we launched the previous year, so we had set the bar pretty low. Mm-hmm. But month over month, I mean, we were seeing 200, 300, 400% growth month over month. And April through September, we were running on zero inventory. So we had literally sold out and were operating with nothing in our warehouse, sending product directly from our co-packer. And we were running runs every single month directly to our distributors. At this point, you know, going to the summer, we were in three states. We launched New Hampshire, convinced them to take a full truck. They only wanted a half truck. And in 3 days, they had ordered three more trucks.
Wow.
So it just blew New Hampshire's expectations. We launched with the two AB houses to cover that state. And I mean, New Hampshire to this day is the only state where we have full coverage. So we're only in a handful of markets. We just launched Philly with Penn Beer last month. And again, within a couple of days, they increased their initial PO by 50%. So we feel very fortunate, particularly in this crazy, crazy year that, you know, that everybody's experiencing. And then of course, in our industry, the can shortage and, you know, the challenges around finding 12-ounce sleek line time. I mean, I think we've seen it all, and I just feel very lucky to be, you know, in a position that we are. You know, we'd only raised a small friends and family round and actually turned profitable last year, which is not the typical playbook for a beverage startup.
No, that's very, very true. And so what are the states, though? Can you just tell me what the states are where you can actually buy Loverboy on the shelf?
Sure. So we just relaunched New York with Manhattan Beer. We're in Wisconsin, about 80% of the state with WDI. We're in the full state of New Hampshire. We launched New Hampshire in July. And then we just launched Philly and Austin last month. So technically that's six states. And you can go to our website, drinkloverboy.com, and you can look you know, on our where to find page, and you'll see a map listing all of our locations. Our spritz, you know, we actually didn't plan this, but we launched it in the peak of the pandemic in April. Mm-hmm. And obviously as a direct to consumer product, you know, you just go to our website and you can buy that online.
Mm-hmm. And so when does Summer House kick off again, Kyle?
So our fifth season premieres in 4 weeks, February 4th. It's a Thursday. And again, feel very fortunate to have, like, I guess you could call it a captive audience, if you will. Mm-hmm. You know, that's been a big part of our brand because we literally launched it season three, summer of 18. I launched the idea, right? So that back then it was just a concept, and we filmed little bits and pieces of the formulation, the brand development, me working with my then girlfriend and now fiance, and the challenges, you know, of that kind of interrelationship in a company. And yeah, it's kind of, you know, the Loverboy's kind of grown up, I guess you could say, on television, and people will see us kind of in expansion mode in the fifth season airing next month.
Okay. And I know our listeners want to know when you and your sweetie Amanda are actually getting married.
Well, like many people, you know, we have been affected by this pandemic. So ironically, we're on our second venue, and we were supposed to get married in September of this year. The first venue fell through. Between you and me, they actually wouldn't let us film. Okay. So that was a curveball. We thought we might film the wedding. So we were supposed to get married this September, had to call it off due to the pandemic. And we're figuring it out. Actually, you'll see us kind of go through part of this planning and part of, like, I think, like, what God knows how many millions of couples had to kind of experience during this pandemic, where you're the unknowns and the uncertainty, it's stressful and it kind of takes the excitement out of it, to be honest. But we're one of these days, we'll tie the knot.
Okay. Well, I'm married 33 years and I love my husband more every day. So,
well, that's a good claim.
Yeah, that's a real good claim.
That's the goal. That's the goal.
Yeah. Amen. It's not about the day, it's about all the days after. But exactly. Actually, so right now, there's really nothing trendier than hard teas and hard seltzers on the easy drinking scene. What do you think sets Loverboy apart from the rest of the beverages in the Beyond Beer category? And, you know, I mean, there's a lot of biggies out there and you're small, but, you know, how are you challenging the status quo, basically?
So this is a great question. You know, when I came up with the concept of a sparkling hard tea, there actually wasn't one. The only other alcoholic tea out there was like a Radler, kind of like a beer with tea at the moment. And I was like, listen, I could launch a hard seltzer. Those are way trendier than hard teas, because the only hard tea at that moment that was mainstream was Twisted Tea with 93% market share. But I just felt like Twisted was going after a completely different customer that I was going to be. But that said, I was like, I don't want to launch just another hard seltzer. What am I going to do that's different? And how do I differentiate? So the first part was, all right, let's do a better for you hard tea. That doesn't exist, right? If I could actually compete or beat the best hard seltzers from a nutrition standpoint, that's a win. And if I can actually have them taste better by using better quality ingredients and bringing some of those qualities out with monk fruit, I can actually beat them on taste too. But I never thought there's no goal to go beat them on price, right? So the premiumization of the Beyond Beer, better for you kind of category, I know there's a bunch of names for it. Back in 18, I just was like, hey, it's bound to happen. It happened with beer. It's happened with every other category of alcohol. The premiumization of the hard seltzer, hard tea, and kind of ready to drink Beyond Beer category, it's going to happen. And I was like, why don't I try to be one of the lead horses in that kind of upsell price point?
Yeah, you were definitely ahead of the curve on that one, Kyle. You know,
yeah, so. I think, but to your point, the challenge here is I'm still small. So how do I, you know, I might've been ahead of the curve, but not anymore, right? So moving forward, what we will really depend upon is the fact that we've built a brand around authenticity, right? Like these big suppliers that are just coming out with brand extensions, you know, they can't buy authenticity. They can't buy a founding story that a challenger brand like Loverboy has. And just like the rest of food and beverage and CPG, I think consumers buy into, you know, supporting those challenger brands, not only because, you know, it's cooler to do so, but more often than not, you're getting a better quality product because it's got better quality ingredients and they're cutting fewer corners. So moving forward, we're just kind of rely on the fact that, hey, we're not trying to compete, you know, at the price point that Truly and White Claw and Bud Light are going to be competing at in the hard tea space. But the more healthy hard teas out there, the better, I think, because, you know, up until recently, I was the only one. And now that's on me to go out and educate the consumer that no, this isn't just a more expensive Twisted Tea. In fact, it really has nothing to do with Twisted Tea other than the fact that we use tea.
Tea. Gotcha. So, you know, going into 2021, what goals do you have for expanding distribution, any new products and flavors in the pipeline? Tell us what we can expect next from Loverboy.
You got it. So there are a ton of massive markets that we have yet to open. And so our goal is to be in, you know, probably about 10 to 12 of our core markets. And what's kind of cool about our brand is we're digital first. We have a massive email subscriber list, so we know where people live. We have a massive following on Instagram between me, Amanda, Carl, who's also on the show, and our own Loverboy Instagram account, we have over 800,000 followers. So wow. That gives us insight. And then we have our spritz sales, right? Like we have actual sales in 44 states. So we know based on spritz sales where we think there's the most pent up demand for our teas. And then last but not least, we have merch. We sold over $250,000 of merchandise in an industry that normally gives it away. And so we have just these loyal customers, and now we have all these data points on them. So I know exactly where I'm going in 2021. It's not a guessing game. And every distributor we're talking to, we present the data, and that informs them to make a very, very big initial purchase order, which is also how they're going to get our business. We hope to probably grow about 500%. Can't quite follow up 10,000%, but 500% is the goal for 2021. And your last question was about new products. So we are slow to roll out our a new kind of seasonal flavor, but we are adding a fourth flavor to our sparkling hard teas. And I gave a sneak peek last night on my Instagram account. But for anybody listening, it's an orange chai tea, which tastes as amazing as it sounds. It's unlike anything else out there as far as I'm concerned. We'll always roll out new spritz and new ready-to-drink cocktails, because that's the beauty of direct-to-consumer. You can do it pretty quickly and efficiently. So look for a new ready-to-drink cocktail, hopefully within about a month.
What flavor will that be?
Oh, you want the secret details, huh?
I do.
I'll spill the beans. It's espresso martini in a can that is naturally sweetened with maple water, and it tastes unbelievable. And it's, in terms of the other hard coffees and espresso-like beverages out there, it is exponentially more healthy. Which is our goal. If we can win on taste and nutrition, you know, that's always going to be our goal at Loverboy.
Okay. Well, is there anything else, Kyle, that you want to add or stress that I haven't covered?
I mean, look, we've accomplished a lot, but we're a 5-person team, if you can believe it or not. I'm always looking to talk with people on the finance side. So even though we aren't looking to raise capital, we are looking at like alternative financing. Mm-hmm. In terms of adding and expanding the team, you know, people that have, you know, national retail account relationships, and, you know, distribution experience, you know, working with the top beer distributors in the country, you know, both, we'd love to find someone who kind of could wear both those hats that could supplement what we're doing. So I'm taking the opportunity to plug it.
Well, very good, Kyle. I really want to thank you so much for your time. And I appreciated learning more about Loverboy and what you're doing to keep the innovation engine chugging along. Best wishes. For more about the latest innovations hitting the beverage market, be sure to check back with Beverage Industry Magazine's Sip and Learn podcast.
Thank you.